Save big on home updates at Menards. Transform your floors and walls with stylish Mohawk porcelain tile. 12 by 24 inch urban forged tiles combine a bold modern look with the timeless beauty of natural stone for a stunning result. Plus, they feature StepSure, an advanced slip-resistant technology providing safety without compromising style. Save big money on Mohawk porcelain tile. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
And we're back with an all-new episode of Keep It. I'm Louis Fertel, fresh off the SAG Awards, which we'll talk about for a second. I've met every celebrity, and they were all so nice and so exhausting. Maybe I'll still burst into tears. I don't think my trauma is totally covered yet by time and space. But also, the other pop cultural topic of the moment is the abs of Mike White, which we're going to get into right now with our guest host, the fabulous, the unmistakable, the awesome Nina Parker.
Unmistakable. I love it.
Yes, Survivor 50 is back.
It's back.
Yes.
Quite the long premiere.
It was Ben-Hur length.
I said, is this Avatar? What? 3 hours. It's crazy. But you know, it's crazy if you don't watch or if you're new to it. But if you love the show, you're eating it up. I was looking at a lot of comments and people were like, it wasn't long enough.
Which is crazy because, by the way, like in LA anyway, there's a huge watching at bars culture of Survivor.
Yes, yes.
Imagine watching a television at a bar for three
right,
hours.
No, that's not my jam. I know a lot of people watch like reality shows at bars in LA. It's a thing. I need to hear what's going on. I'm too social. I'm going to be talking to people and taking shots.
Yeah.
I need to know. I'm going to have to rewatch it later to really sink in what happened. So I'd rather just do it at home.
I will say this. I'm grateful that we have activities involving TV shows we can scream at because that's right. All being straight edge.
Right.
Right. Let me scream at the sport in front of my friends who are also screaming.
It does
screaming.
Feel like an experience I missed growing up.
Yeah.
So it is fun to scream at shows. But I get too involved. I have to really put like a line with myself in reality shows because I don't know, maybe I'm an empath. I get too invested. I get angry.
Oh, yeah.
And then I take it out into the world and, you know, I'm hip checking an old lady in Gelson's and it's like, you know, what am I doing?
Well, also, you would think that the way these shows are produced, like we all agree who like the good people and the bad people
right.
are. Oh, no. You'll like talk to your friend and it turns out you have nothing in common anymore.
It's
they
like
love that sociopath.
Out they voted for Trump.
Yeah.
I'm
no,
like,
seriously.
Wait, do you like them?
Right.
I don't know if we can be friends anymore.
And they'll say things that sound kind of like microaggressions or something. I'm like, oh, wait, I'm learning something about you.
And that's why you got to just listen sometimes to what people's views about certain things are. That's how I feel like you really find out about people. It's not like the big grandiose things. Sometimes it's the little microaggressions where you really find out where they lie, where you're like, oh
that's what's gnawing at you?
Oh, that's how you feel.
Yeah.
You know, there's been shocking things that I've heard from people, you know, even in like dating, you know, if I say something and I'm talking about being where I live in LA or whatever, and the guy's like, oh, the homeless over there. I'm like, oh, you got to get out.
No. Amount of times I'm at a pool party trying to enjoy myself and like, you know, someone says something like that. I'm like, honey, I'm basically on vacation. Can you get to the good part of your personality?
Have a little personality, babe, please.
Yeah,
it's so like that. So I do enjoy those little pockets of things. But I saw that the ratings were insane.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, I guess
show.
They never aren't, you know?
It's always good, but they said it'd been the highest rated show on CBS since 2022.
Wow.
Which is insane.
Yeah. But by the way, if you're a fan of Survivor, it's like impossible not to check into this season because it's got 25 cast members. And it's like, it keeps toasting the past of the show too.
Right.
So it's like revisiting all these times. I mean, like, it's crazy that we've had 25 years of the show. I'm sorry. I will say this. I have two problems with Survivor.
Tell me.
One, Jeff Probst is just constantly screaming. I need him to modulate. You know what he dresses like? Do you remember the show Legends of the Hidden Temple?
Yes.
Kirk Fogg was the host of that show.
I love that you remember the host of the show.
Honey,
is inside baseball.
Name a single thing and I remembered it.
Oh my
gosh. Just know that about me. But it's like a toast to that kind of rugged khakis thing, but also clearly a costumer picked it out. Like it's not rugged at all.
Right. Do we know where he lives in his off time? Does he live in LA? I wonder.
I know there's a treehouse and I know he built it.
Because I feel like it was cosplay initially, right?
Yes.
Like
yes.
This was now.
You're so right.
You know, like this, you were just like you were a host.
Yeah, he used to host Rock and Roll Jeopardy. Yeah.
Yes, like, you're a host. You were a bougie host. And now because you did Survivor, like, imagine us going to host. Like, if I imagine what I would cosplay in if I was hosting. Like, I would get cornrows.
Oh, sure.
And put on a bandana, but here, from neck down, so I look like I'm about to rob a bank. You know, and I would put on, like, some dusty overalls. Like, I don't know. First of all, that sounds like I'm building a house, but you know what I mean.
No, like that corporate retreat paintball energy.
Yes. And so I feel like he has morphed it into, like, that this rugged Marlboro Man personality, which no shade.
Yeah.
But, like, this is now, like, Survivor has become who he is.
No, you're right. It's made up. He just keeps believing in it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, there is a whole crafty crew there.
I can't decide if I'm a fan of the fact that he seemingly pulled himself out of the Emmy race for best reality host because he won it 3 times in a row, and then he suddenly dropped out, presumably because he didn't need any more Emmys or whatever.
Who does that?
But here's the thing. It's like, now the race isn't real. I want to believe in the sanctity of awards,
yeah,
and
I
you're
agree.
Ruining it with your humility?
By the way, I'll never do that.
Yeah, please.
I'm going to do a reverse Susan Lucci. I'm taking all this shit.
Yeah.
I'm taking everything with me. I'm taking the napkins home. I'm taking everything.
No,
like,
Billie Eilish
I will never
shit.
Drop. Right.
Two Oscars? I need 9
yes,
more.
I'm never dropping out of anything. Are you crazy?
Right.
No, very gracious of him, I'm sure, but...
So essay question. We talked a lot about reality TV, you and I. We talked about the America's Next Top Model documentary last time you were here. What do you think is the single greatest season of a reality show?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Because it's all about a season. You know, like if you like one season of The Traitors, the next one might be, you know, totally boring, which I think this one totally was.
Well, I think it depends on what kind of reality. Are we talking a reality show where there's competitions? Are we talking about a reality show like Real Housewives of Atlanta?
I will allow both.
Well, I'm giving it to Real Housewives.
Okay,
sure. I mean, I think the Real Housewives that put everything on the map was Atlanta.
Yeah.
You know, so...
That's also the show with, I think, the most people per cast were funny.
Yes. I think the Real Housewives of Atlanta season when it was like... I don't know what number season it was, when it was Kim, Sheree, NeNe, when everybody was going crazy. Kim was getting her wig pulled. Sheree was... When she did the Who Gonna Check Me Boo. Like, all of that happened. To me, that was what put Real Housewives on the map. Because it wasn't OC.
Yeah.
Like, it existed and people watched, but I don't think Real Housewives exploded until Atlanta came and just knocked it out the park.
You couldn't be tardy to that party. No, you simply had to be
know,
there on
it was
time.
Like platinum songs. Like, it was a time.
Yeah. And so, also, whenever Candy Burris does interviews, I'm like so into her.
You are.
Yes. Well, I stand songwriters.
Okay,
so when people are like, you know, like Bonnie McKee or these people out in the world who are like, did you know I wrote these number one hits?
Right.
It's like, I love the sweatiness of that. Like reminding us you had a part in a big
song.
You know?
I do love like the resilientness of Candy because when Escape wasn't platinum anymore, like she really knows the power of the pivot.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go write these songs. There's probably songs people have no idea that she's involved in, but even now with like being on Broadway and working with Denzel and like her reach is really long. And I think in the Bravo world, people give her respect for that. But the real world, I don't think they understand. And I feel like she's rather humble about like her connections.
Yeah.
Like she's really super connected and works. And like she even, you know, has a sex toy line. Like she's about that bag. And I respect that.
I also think No Scrubs is better than anything on Crazy Sexy Cool. Is that bad?
Because
you know what my problem with waterfalls is? You ready for this?
Okay.
The line, don't go chasing waterfalls, amazing.
Okay.
The next line, please stick to the rivers and the lakes that you're used to. Can we get a rewrite on that?
I mean, you know, that was the time. We was just looking at the videos back then.
Yeah, right. Oh,
but
what
I don't
a video.
Know,
yeah.
I don't know if I can say that. Crazy Sexy Cool is like a soundtrack to my life.
Yeah.
So I can't get on board with that now. That was...
Red
that,
Light Special.
It was like an album... Like, Creep is probably my favorite TLC song of all time. I can't tell you how many hours in the girls' bathroom I took trying to learn the Creep dance. Like, it literally, there are certain albums.
Is the Creep dance very, like, arm swaying out in front of you like this?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's kind of like the butterfly with the legs.
Yes.
And then the front. We should do a TikTok dance and bring this back.
Okay, you could do that. What if I didn't? Yeah.
You can feel me.
Okay, that's exactly what's going to happen.
But, like, the Creep dance was, I feel like there are certain songs, like SWV,
oh, God,
their
right
first
here.
Album,
I love that song,
I remember what I was doing when I first heard it, you know, Crisscross when I first came out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fun fact,
John.
I won tickets on the radio to go see Crisscross perform.
Oh, my God.
And I'm going to age myself.
Yeah.
But you know who opened for them?
Hold
when
on.
I went.
The year must be like 92.
This was like probably, like 92, 93.
Opened for them. So you're saying it's somebody who became huger later?
Yes.
I'm going to go with, it's too early for like Spice Girls. I'm going to go with Boyz II Men.
Mary J. Blige.
Oh, well, that's exactly the year What's the 411 came out, if I'm not mistaken.
Mary J. Blige opened for them. I won the tickets on the radio. I was calling like a mad person. I got the tickets, and I was like second row.
Ooh.
And it was the craziest shit. I didn't know who Mary J. Blige was when I watched. But she opened for Criss Cross.
I assume she did Real Love.
I don't remember what she did. I honestly was trying to just look for Daddy Mac and Mac Daddy.
Did you wear backwards jeans?
I wore everything backwards. I had huge crushes on them. This is aging me horribly. I wrote about this on Threads and somebody was like,
one foot in the grave,
you
lady.
You old bitch. Yeah. And I was like, you know what? What's the alternative here, by the way? When you call someone old, like, what would the alternative be?
Yeah, right, like, yeah. Be young.
Right, exactly. No, yeah. I'm getting up there. But I won't look until I'm 82.
But also, you got that right. Also, by the way, we used to be excited about things like concerts, and then it would be a privilege to get to go, and you would win tickets on the radio. So we used to have joy.
It's
how
like,
about that? Sorry you're too young to have experienced that.
I don't know if I know people call in for advice sometimes on the radio, but I feel like calling the radio is a thing of like the 80s and 90s.
Yes,
like,
I would say it's actually insane to call a radio station and be like, please play.
It would be very unhinged.
Please play Morgan Wallen for me. I can't find it.
You could just play it on your phone, right? So why do you need to call the radio? Because I really would, as a kid, this is just getting way off topic, but, you know, like we would create our own music by listen to the radio and press and record.
Oh, excuse me. That was my whole life. Yes.
Like you would just sit and, you know, people ask, like, what did you do before cell phones? That.
Right.
That's what we did.
And occasionally, I didn't have the technology to actually tape the song off the radio, so I would hold the recorder up to... Margaret Cho has a whole bit about this. So occasionally, yes. You hear your mom opening the fucking door and being like, dinner's ready, and you're late, and you're ugly, or whatever she screams at you.
I actually have one of these where I was watching... I think it was like Nick at Night was on, and you could hear Happy Days in the background.
Hell yeah.
My mom was like, Nada! So... Absolutely.
By
this
the way,
a time.
I would absolutely record the Happy Days theme off Nick at Night.
For real?
Yes. No, like Sunday, Monday, Happy Days. Not even Rockin' Around the Clock, like the Bill Haley like classic. Just the pure theme songs.
You know, I love it here. I don't feel old. Like, I feel seen. I feel so seen.
Oh, my God. Our geriatric asses had a great episode.
This is the thing. Like, these days, you don't look like what you've been through. So nobody really knows. And that's the fun part about it.
Oh, yeah. No. You know? Well, skincare has come a long way. And with that, and sorry, we meant to talk about Survivor, but I'm sorry.
Survivor,
lots of amazing
please.
Things got in the way. I'm sorry. You bring up Mary J. Blige and I'm lost. Okay. This episode, we have a lot going on. First of all, we're going to talk about new albums from Bruno Mars and Hilary Duff. Those are two tastes that don't
Very
intersect almost
combo,
at all.
Yes.
Yeah. But we'll see what we discover about
I
them.
I like both.
Our guest this episode is the, hold on to your hats, Stellan Skarsgård, Oscar nominee for Sentimental Value.
Love.
He's also been in every movie.
Yes.
So if you've seen a movie, you have seen him. Yes, we talk about Mamma Mia, of course. That's really our episode today. And then I have a very salty Keep It that I'm excited to get
Ooh,
into,
I'm
too.
I'm excited to hear this.
So, as you know, rage is a big part of my life, and I like to explore it on this show.
I feel, obviously, the climate of the world has me on edge. And I am doing everything in my power not to, like, lose it.
Oh, yeah. Well, don't worry. My favorite joke got into the SAG Awards that is about this
yes!
topic. Sterling K. Brown said it, which was, by the way, there was like no place for this because I don't write Kristen Bell's material. She's the host of the show.
Okay.
And she doesn't really do a monologue, so there's no room for monologue jokes. But he snuck this one in there,
Ooh,
which
I love
is,
it.
The joke is, the theme of tonight is 1920s, 1930s Hollywood. We thought with everything going on in the world right now, we'd take you back to a happier time, the Great Depression. And Janelle James was with him. She is fabulous.
Yes.
Always
yes,
nailing the
so
delivery.
Funny, yes. Her delivery is really good. Sterling is really funny, too.
Yes. Which was the point of the bit, him proving he could be funny, too. Yeah.
Are you watching Paradise?
No, I haven't seen it.
You've never seen it?
With Julia Nicholson and stuff? No, not seen it.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh. You've got to watch it.
Okay.
You've got to watch it. And now we're in the second season. It's phenomenal.
Okay. All
right. It's phenomenal. I think you would love it.
All right.
Yes.
After I get through hour 17 of the first episode of Survivor, I will watch that.
Yes. So watch it next year.
We'll be right back with Keep It. Keep It is brought to you by Factor. It's award season, which means I have no time to cook. And only time to wonder, will Rose Byrne win an Academy Award this year? I'm going no, but I'm optimistic. Factor makes healthy eating easy with fully prepared meals designed by dietitians and crafted by chefs so you can eat well without the planning or cooking. I think still my favorite Factor meal is the honey mustard chicken. The chicken is perfection. The honey mustard is just tangy enough. I could eat, honestly, 7 of them at a time. Usually I don't, but, you know, if it's Friday and I'm feeling crazy, why not? Factor uses quality, functional ingredients, including lean proteins, colorful veggies, whole food ingredients, and healthy fats. There are no refined sugars, no artificial sweeteners, and no refined seed oils. They are meals designed to fit your goals and schedule, which means healthier eating, calorie management, and more protein. Factor is 100 rotating meals to keep things fresh and delicious through winter. They also have tons of diet options to choose from, including high-protein, calorie-smart, Mediterranean diet, GLP-1 support, and ready-to-eat salads. Plus, the new Muscle Pro collection supports strength and recovery after a tough workout. Factor is always fresh, never frozen, and ready in about 2 minutes. No prep, no stress. Keep It listeners know I'm a longtime Factor hound, so if you're looking to minimize your cooking and maximize everything else, you will love Factor. Head to factormeals.com/keepit50off and use code keepit50off to get 50% off and free breakfast for a year. Eat like a pro this month with Factor. New subscribers only, varies by plan. One free breakfast item per box for 1 year while subscription is active. Keep It is brought to you by Helix. Believe it or not, spring is around the corner, so I need to be well-rested for all those barbecues and hikes my friends and I are planning. Those California super blooms aren't going to Instagram themselves. It's a good thing I have my Helix mattress to give me the perfect reset each night and set me up for a great day every morning. Before I had my Helix mattress, I was tossing and turning, waking up with back pain, not to mention sweating. And now that I have a Helix, those problems are a thing of the past. A Helix study even found that 82% of participants saw an increase in their deep sleep cycles while sleeping on a Helix mattress. I'm going to think about my last night's sleep on a Helix mattress. I saw Pillion late. I really loved it. Got home, plopped down, and I was gone. I become one with the mattress. I'm virtually inseparable from it. Helix is the most awarded mattress brand, tested and reviewed by experts like Forbes and Wired. Helix also delivers your mattress right to your door with free shipping in the U.S. Rest easy with seamless returns and exchanges. The Happy with Helix guarantee offers a risk-free, customer-first experience designed to ensure you're completely satisfied with your new mattress. And when you choose Helix, you get a 120-night sleep trial and limited lifetime warranty. And my favorite part? The Helix Sleep Quiz makes buying a mattress easy by matching you with the perfect mattress based on your personal preferences and sleep needs. So go to helixsleep.com/keepit for 27% off. Site-wide exclusive for listeners of Keep It. That's helixsleep.com/keepit for 27% off. Site-wide exclusive for listeners of Keep It. Make sure you enter our show name after checkout so they know we sent you. helixsleep.com/keepit. Today, we have two albums to cover. I know we're in the heart of movie award season, but let's take a break for just a second. We've got a new album, a short album from Bruno Mars called The Romantic, and we have a new album from a gay beloved television star, Hilary Duff, called Luck or Something. We'll start with Bruno Mars. What are your feelings about this man in general, who, by the way, is 40?
You know what? He has very boyish energy, right?
Yeah.
And not in a way that he's immature, but he just feels like a really young guy.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, okay. But you know what? 40 these days is a different kind of 40 than it was 30 years ago.
No, so. I didn't know that you could be a 40-year-old rascal. He's a rascal.
Calling somebody a rascal is insane. I actually am going to use that from now on.
I mean, that's
but
what
it
I
is
mean,
actually yeah. a perfect description. Yeah. No, I love Bruno Mars.
You
I
do.
Love him. I like his music. I love him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Okay, interesting distinction. Because I like his music. I actually think he's extremely talented. Like, I'm glad that he's
he
a part of the industry.
Sure.
Because he sets a high bar for quality in terms of just pure vocals, instrumentation, whatever. I do think the subject matters of his song leave something to be desired. Like, this to me is 10 prom proposals in a row.
Do you feel like this is TikTok, like, inspired? Like,
he's
just trying to get, like, I don't want to, like, cheapen his art, but, like, maybe he's hoping a couple of these end up as, like, TikTok, like, routines or something.
I mean, like, because the nature of all of these songs is just, girl, you're the best.
Right.
Which I feel like has a place on TikTok.
Sure, yeah.
But at the same time, I wish there was one song that wasn't like the others. It just felt like 9 random things
That's
he was working on thrown into an album. And by the way, the last time he released a solo album, it won Album of the Year.
Yeah, it did. You know what? And then he had the thing with Anderson .Paak, right?
Yeah.
So I do like him. Like, I like his energy and I like his music a lot. But would I just normally just put on a Bruno Mars album? Probably not. I would put on a Bruno Mars song.
Well, by the way, you don't have to put on Bruno Mars because you walked into Best Buy today and you heard a Bruno Mars song.
I was just going to say, I could just hear him at H&M.
Yeah.
This is shady. I don't mean it that way.
I do a little bit.
Oh, no.
Because I think he is so talented.
He is.
And he's so, but it's just like.
You think he's a little sticky?
It's like, it's romantic music, but it also kind of just belongs in a Microsoft commercial.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of feel like the machine interrupted him, you know, when he was at his peak, and which the industry will do to you, right? Where if something is working, they want you to drill it into the ground.
Yeah, right.
Like, we only want you if you do this thing. So I think that maybe the music industry did that to Bruno a little bit, where it's like, this is working, keep doing this.
And also, he plays the game well. Like, he makes me, I would compare it maybe to, like, Pink or something, where there was, like, a roughness to Pink when she started.
Sure.
Not that that's still, actually, when you watch an interview with Pink, it's still a little bit like, I'm positive you could beat me up. But, you know, as, you know, she became more famous, they just became normal pop songs.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. And there's, you know, and it, again, Pink is also one of those people where people love her music, but they like her.
Yes.
I just feel like ultimately this industry is built on people just wanting to like you. And, you know, like if they like you.
Unthreatening. Yeah.
Yeah. Like if they like you. I'm surprised Bruno hasn't done more of things like being on The Voice.
Yeah. Though that said, are you familiar with the song Fat, Juicy, and Wet?
Very much.
Because guess what gets played in my car still to this day?
Really?
First of all, what are we doing with Sexy Red? Because it's not enough.
No. Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
You think so?
Oh, she's been performing in Mar-a-Lago. She can go.
Oh, did she?
Yes, she did. Oh, she can get her ass out of here.
But I'm Lewis and I like Sexy Red.
Mm-mm, no, baby. Mm-mm. No more booty hole talk.
But, that sucks. I already excused Taylor Dane because I was like, all right, it's not Pride season. You need to make money. Go ahead and go to Mar-a-Lago. Mm-hmm. Sexy Red, no.
And like hitting up weddings.
Okay.
Yeah, she's where she deserves to be.
God damn it. Mm-hmm. Because when she said Coochie Water autograph, sign Sexy Red, I was like, give me the quill. I want to.
You know, I got to be honest with you, though. I knew a lot of Sexy Reds growing up. I've had my feel. I'm good.
Excuse me? There's multiple?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Depending on where you at.
All right.
I'm good.
Who do you think is the best Sexy Red of all time? Is it Lil' Kim?
That was insulting. How dare you? Let me get my shit. No, please. I mean, Lil' Kim. Yeah, Lil' Kim is probably my favorite. I mean, again, one of those people where I feel like I grew up. Like, you know, she was just so empowering. So,
yeah.
And Lil' Kim to me, Sexy Red tries to be like a Garbage Pail Kid.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
You know, like she just tries to be nasty.
Yeah, yeah.
But Lil' Kim was like,
This is like,
I'm nasty, but I did this. And it's not just like talking about body odor. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
The album Hardcore has a lot going on.
Yes,
that's not just that. Right,
you know, she's talking about sexually explicit stuff, but it's not to the point where we're talking about what's coming out of it. Like, it's a lot.
You're sort of saying Sexy Red is the Lisa Lampanelli of music. You know, just dirty for dirty's sake.
Just dirty, girl. Just on the gutter.
Yeah.
It's just too much for me.
Yeah.
And I rarely like kind of cringe and grab my pearls, but every now and then I'm like, Sexy Red, like, please. So I'm happy to you know, retire her from my
But
music.
Speaking of sexy, is Bruno Mars sexy?
To me, no.
Okay.
No, because I could put him in my pocket.
No, he's 1'9". He's a Fisher-Price little superstar.
I feel like I would put him on my hip while we grocery shopped, you know?
Like, he's sort of like if Richard Simmons had a Stefan Urkel.
Yes.
Like he comes in the machine, comes out, and he goes.
That is very specific.
Yeah.
And actually, I quite agree.
I think he would look cute in the shorts, too.
I don't think he's unattractive. He's a very attractive man.
No, he looks gorgeous, gorgeous.
But yeah,
talk about skincare.
But also, just like you said, a rascal.
Yes.
Just a little rascal. You know, I put him on a pendant on my necklace and walk around with him. You know, it's just, no.
It's just interesting, though, because I would say, you know, when Prince performed, short person, athletic movements, it was sexier somehow.
Listen, I have never been attracted to a man in platforms like I was to Prince.
Right.
There was something about Prince that attracted every damn body. Everybody loved and wanted Prince.
I think also because it was very confusing, because Bruno Mars to me just reads like a straight person.
Yeah.
Whereas Prince to me could be attracted to anyone or anything, even though he also had both homophobic energy and gay energy.
Yeah.
So maybe it was just the mystery of him that
added
to
it. It was the mystery of him.
You know who the prince is for gay Disney adults who are 34 years old? Hilary Duff.
Yes.
She has a new album out. What are your feelings on Hilary Duff? Because my feeling about who she is as a person, her career, like coming from Lizzie McGuire, et cetera. I am exactly 1 year too old to have gotten on the Hilary Duff train. There are certain people where I just missed it. Like, for instance, the concept of Pokemon is for people 1.5 years younger than me and downward.
That 1 year is actually a huge difference because it's like this maturity point where you're like, I'm too old for this, even though you're like 16 and everybody into it is, you know, 14.
But that's still
a big difference
crucial
because
age
you
difference.
Ignore it.
Yeah.
So the same for me, but I like I liked her. I never disliked Hillary Duff. But I will say, with this Ashley Tisdale mess.
Oh, yes.
I became a stan.
Yeah, well.
I'm a stan.
Well, also, it feels like Ashley Tisdale just played whatever is going on in this mom group totally wrong.
Yes.
And also, Mandy Moore is in this group. And if you've never met the girl, saint.
Yes.
The girl is cool.
Yeah.
Liberal and no nonsense.
Right.
Has been through it in the industry and like got a TV show that really happened for her. And
right.
Like,
right.
So I have to pick her side.
Yeah. I was here for, you know, I have to say the way Hillary and her husband kind of came and tore down. I respect somebody who tears the buildings down.
Oh,
who's
yeah.
Who's like, I'm not, this is how I feel. I'm not standing down from how I feel. So after that, I was like, let me go on ahead and listen to this album. Because I love how she was moving.
Yeah.
I loved it.
What do you think of this actual album? Because by the way, at least the Queens community,
yeah.
Gay men,
yeah.
are fucking all over this. And
yeah.
snatching up this album, it did really well in its first week of sales.
Yeah.
There's no way this woman isn't headlining WeHo Pride. I'm
telling
you, kick Tinashe off the stage now. I'm positive it's going to be Hillary Duff.
I think this is her. You know what? I think people, they peak and then they ebb and flow, right? And
yes.
I think she is in her flow right now. And again, someone who I think is going to do music is going to do well digitally
yeah.
on TikToks and all that stuff. But I like it. I think she has a few bops. You
yeah.
know what I mean? Is it like going to be the something that's iconic for me? Probably not. But,
yeah.
But I like it. And it was better than I expected, honestly.
Yeah. Well, also, it's like the lyrics are I don't want to say deeper, but they have a kind of sardonic edge. You know, it's not just, you know, a pop song like Come
sure.
Clean, like the old shit she did. What surprised me, listening even just one song in, I was like, this sounds exactly like Carly Rae Jepsen.
Mm.
It's exact. And then the album kept going on. I was like, Carly Rae Jepsen again. And by the way, I love a Carly Rae Jepsen album. I love her. And then I realized Hillary Duff's husband, who worked on the album, was instrumental in making Carly Rae Jepsen's first album,
oh,
Kiss, which is
sense.
One of my 10 favorite albums.
I was gonna ask if there was a connection.
Yes. But like literally, the combination of nice girl whimsy mixed with a sort of sarcastic mm-hmm. edge is the Carly Rae Jepsen
yeah.
standard. And I think she's adopting it really well here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think like, you know, there are certain people who find their groove.
Yeah.
I'm going to say something a little controversial.
Please.
Please don't hate me. Everybody's looking at me. I'm going to say this. I hope I don't sound ridiculous. I like a little Addison Rae.
Oh, me too. We've talked about that album a lot. It's good.
It's a little bop. I know she can't probably really sing in real life, but the little Pepsi song.
Let her be like a
please.
Fun hologram, please.
Please, I'm going to yeah. listen to it. Every time I get ready, I'm doing my eyebrows. I'm putting on that Pepsi song.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's, you know, this is where I'm like, this is for the kids.
Yeah.
So I don't really think anybody cares about my opinion about Addison Rae, but I know she's kind of like, people feel like she's manufactured and she's, you know, not really kind of mid-talented. I actually agree with that. But whatever they manufacture is kind of a boppy. It's kind of boppy.
I would say almost every song on the Addison Rae album is great. I love the New York song. I love Headphones On. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She got some bops.
Yeah.
You know?
And even what she's doing, again, it's like, it's not like she's a belter or anything,
right.
but like there's a whispery sensuality that has something in it.
Aaliyah.
Yeah.
Whoa, oops.
Yeah.
Well,
now was,
you
said the quiet part. You said something.
I just mean, I don't mean comparison, obviously.
I'm
not comparing them, but I'm just saying there's a range of singers that are more whispery that we listen to the beat and the like, this is, it's not just going to be the voice that makes them popular, right?
Actually, I don't think Aaliyah is a bad comparison. Like, I'm thinking of like Rock the Boat and like there's like that
it's
kind of
vibe.
Energy. Yeah,
yeah.
yeah.
It's a vibe
is exactly it.
Vibey
yes.
music,
yeah.
right? And I'm a big person on vibey music because I'm a mood music person.
Yeah.
So as much as I respect a belter, I don't want to listen to a belter when I'm doing shots and smoking a joint before I go out.
Oh, please.
I need somebody whimsical and vibey.
I'm almost anti-belting. Almost.
You're anti-belting.
Well, if you're Whitney Houston and you speak in belt and
right.
it's organic to
right.
who you are as a person,
mm-hmm.
love it. Mariah, et cetera.
Sure. It can be annoying if they think they're a belter, but they're not.
Yeah. Well, and also it's like, I think the best part of a musical performance is the acting within it. Do I believe the sentiment
sure.
you're delivering?
Sure.
And if it's just a belt, disconnected from like the, shall we say, intention of the song.
Yes.
I can hear that. I don't want to listen to a ninth place American Idol contestant.
Right.
You know? That's what Whitney had such a boom in
yeah.
her natural voice that it was basically like she was talking to you.
Yeah. And
you
also
know?
Whitney had such an opportunity. She could do everything.
Yeah.
You know, she could do like fun little, it's not right.
Yeah.
And she's not belting them, but it was still like she knew music enough to know like what was going to be a bop. And I'm not always looking for a hit. Like I just want something. I just like what I like. I like what you know sings to me personally and like puts me in a good mood to do something. Like that's what I'm looking for.
But by the way, you nailed something when you talked about vibe, because I would say like a lot of the songs in this Hillary Duff album don't particularly stand out,
right.
but as a cohesive album
sure.
you want to listen to it in a row.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a different kind of success model that isn't just you had a bunch of good pop songs in a row, which I think is the problem with the Bruno Mars album, because it's just a bunch of standalone songs that don't really have anything to do with each other.
It's not a story.
Except some sort of Spanish styling that he added to the album. But yeah, I needed like a curated vibe. Any good party has a curated vibe.
Especially at my age, I need a vibe to, like, get into what I'm doing. Like, okay, this is what I'm going to do while I make my charcuterie board.
Yeah. You know? Do you make a charcuterie board?
I absolutely do. It's my favorite thing.
That's the closest thing to cooking I will ever do. Not done it, but I am— I'm envious of the art in it.
Oh, my gosh. It's the best thing. It's my dinner. You know, when they talk about girl dinners, please.
Do you have the nuts, too?
The nuts, the honey.
Yeah.
A little spicy honey sometimes.
The jam.
The little jam.
Yeah.
Little prosciutto.
Is it bread and crackers?
Never bread.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, no, I never do bread.
All right.
Crackers only.
Okay,
yeah, I don't have time. I'm not making a sandwich.
You know that crackers is my favorite food.
Really?
Yeah.
What kind? Water crackers?
Lots. But did you know that Wheat Thins once sent me a mug that said number one Wheat Thins fan? Get on my level.
What?
You'll never be me.
What? But you like a Wheat Thin.
100%.
Over.
That's different than charcuterie stuff.
Because I was like, I would never put as much respect to Wheat Thins.
Yeah.
But you know what? I love that sun-dried tomato Wheat Thin, please.
Oh, please.
A sun-dried tomato Wheat Thin with a little drink?
And you know they dry them in the sun. Oh. First of all, they're wet. And they take them out
Delicious.
There. It's still Sandy Duncan. She takes them out there in her bushel. And,
and
she begs the sun to dry the Wheat Thin.
Pry my sun-dried tomato Wheat Thin out my cold, dead hands. Okay?
Out of the farmhand's hands.
Because
he's the one taking them out there.
You've never had that in a little sparkling water on a Saturday? You ain't been living.
But by the way, to bring this back essay-wise, both of these albums are like joyous little crackers.
Yes!
You know, just a little something.
That's what it is. It's not a meal.
Yeah.
You're not going to get a meal. But you know what? That's okay. I think now I can look at things and appreciate them for what they are instead of trying to make them something they're not.
Yeah.
Like, I think everybody thinks that when we think about talent, which there are a lot of talented people without a record deal with that we don't know, right?
You
can hear that in any subway station. But sometimes a little appetizer of a singer is okay.
Oh, yeah. No, I have to say, my friend Lauren Nybert once said to me when a bunch of us were debating Taylor Swift during some heated Taylor Swift moment, she just goes, man, people really take her seriously. And I was like, that's sort of the right take. Like, why is this like the world's most important thing?
Like,
she kind of is a morsel of a singer-songwriter.
Yeah.
There are some good songs. And it's, you know, inoffensive, generally speaking.
Yeah.
You know?
I think we have to embrace the fact that the music industry has evolved past. I think when we were growing, the 50s and the 60s, and, you know, music was intertwined in civil rights. And it was really important.
Mm, yeah.
Now, music is silly as hell. And if you look at it like that, then you're less offended when things happen because it's a very unserious industry. All of this entertainment shit is very unserious right now.
Right.
So you got to kind of look at it like this is not meant to be, you know, a whole think piece.
Yeah, right.
Like, she's just singing about rainbows and unicorns.
Yes,
and that's okay.
And I believe she knows about those.
And it's also okay for it not to be for you
without
it being a bad thing.
Yes.
Because
I get a little obsessive when people are like, you know, you say you don't like an album. They're like, well, it's not for you. I'm like, honestly, most music is for me. So maybe they should have just made it better. Yeah.
You get offended when they say it's not for you.
Yeah. Sometimes. Yeah. I mean, like, I know when I'm out of my depth.
Yeah.
But, like, don't tell me because it's, like, a lady singer or something.
Right,
well, it's not for you. It's like, excuse me, all I do is listen to them. Do you think I listen to a male vocalist?
Right, right.
Yeah.
Right. That's true.
Yeah.
That's very true.
Up next, we have our interview with the delightful and fabulous Stellan Skarsgård, star of the new movie Sentimental Value, for which he is nominated for an Academy Award. He is beaming in from a place that has a little bit of creaks and cricks going on in the background. Just forgive it and enjoy the Scandinavian atmosphere. We'll be right back. Keep It is brought to you by Olipop. Olipop is a new kind of soda that combines classic soda taste with the benefits of a functional ingredient blend to support digestive health. Olipop is reimagining soda with high fiber and low sugar. And now they are launching their new limited edition flavor, Shirley Temple. Mmm, the good ship lollipop. I mean Olipop. Olipop's take on the Shirley Temple is like the classic you remember, but brighter, bolder, and made with real ingredients you can actually feel good about. The great Shirley Temple. I've been watching her movies, reading her old interviews, dressing like her, and singing her songs alone in my room. Now I get to drink the Olipop flavor inspired by her with real ingredients and less sugar than traditional soda, which you know I don't drink. Get a free can of Olipop, Bring any two cans of Olipop in store and Olipop will pay you back for one. Works on any flavor, any retailer. Go to drinkolipop.com/trips. That's drinkolipop.com/trips. Olipop is sold online at drinkolipop.com and Amazon. Available in the soda aisle and with the chilled beverages at thousands of retailers nationwide, including Walmart and Target. Keep It is brought to you by Qualia. Look, magnesium is something most of us lack. And if you're taking the drugstore variant, you're still not getting the full picture. And industrial farming, chronic stress, and everyday aging all make it worse. Almost every supplement uses one form of magnesium, but magnesium comes in many forms, and each form helps your health in a different way. That's exactly why you need to try Qualia Magnesium Plus. Most people know that magnesium is critical for sleep, but some forms help muscle recovery, brain function, heart health, bone health, mood, and over 300 functions in the body. That's why Qualia Magnesium Plus is the only product to combine 10 bioavailable forms of magnesium with more than 70 trace minerals that help fuel magnesium support. It's full-spectrum magnesium to deliver magnesium's full potential. It's not just a sleep supplement. It's a full-body magnesium system built for modern living to feel your best every day. It's time to improve your sleep and enhance your recovery with Qualia Magnesium Plus. So I gave it a try. It's been a week or two now, and I think it's safe to say I'm sleeping better. It's hard to tell since my sleep, as you know, is legendary, but I'm loving it. Experience the most trusted magnesium for purity, potency, and performance. Plus, it's non-GMO, vegan, and gluten-free, making it a choice you can feel good about. Go to qualialife.com/keepit for 50% off. And here's a bonus. Use the code KEEPIT for an additional 15% off your order. That's qualialife.com/keepit and use the code KEEPIT. Thanks to Qualia for sponsoring this episode. Thrilled to welcome my next guest, whose career includes classic after classic, among on the Von Trier collaborations, Breaking the Waves, we'll get into that, and Dancer in the Dark. He's also captivated audiences in recent roles on Chernobyl, Andor, and the Dune films. He won the Golden Globe for Best Supporting Actor in a Drama for his most recent film, Sentimental Value. And if I have it my way, he'll win the Oscar, too. He's nominated in the same category there. Please welcome to Keep It, Stellan Skarsgård.
Hello, thank you.
I was just marveling, of course, at your filmography and everything that you do. And the first thing I rewatched of yours recently was your cameo on Saturday Night Live with your son, Alexander. And I have to say, you really belonged there. Like, your delivery was exactly right for SNL.
Oh, thank you.
How did you feel in that environment?
I felt very, very good. But, I mean, I did not know what I was doing. Everything went so fast and you're ill-prepared and everything just goes, you wing it. And it was great fun. And it was fun to see Alexander handling it so good.
In the particular sketch, you were in a couple, but the main one was sort of lampooning, I think, what Americans think of Scandinavian films. What do you in general think of what we think of that kind of cinema? Does it feel one-dimensional or two-dimensional to you? Or is it at all accurate? What do you think?
No, it's not. I mean, of course, it's a spoof. It's not accurate. National traits are not as obvious as that, usually. But they, of course, since the Bergman days, the Bergman films, they think that Swedish films are Scandinavian films are. You take a long pause between each sentence and nod, and is it all between the lines? And there's usually nothing between the lines. But it's in this particular film, it is actually something between the lines. And if you've seen it, it's fun to watch because it's there's a lot of silences, but there's happening a ton of things in the silences.
I want to get to Sentimental Value in a moment, but you actually just brought up Bergman. And in one of your breakout roles in The Simple-Minded Murderer, Bergman himself was a huge fan of that movie. And I was wondering, at that crucial part of your career, someone like that stepping in and noticing the movie, I mean, does that change the trajectory of your life? Because I just think of that filmmaker in particular as so instrumental, particularly in the movies of Joachim Trier.
Actually, I didn't know that Bergman liked the film.
Oh, yes, he did.
Yeah, thank you. It's a bit late now, but still, I really enjoy it. But of course, I mean, Bergman was incredibly powerful at the time, and he decided who could make films and who could not make films in Sweden at the time. So it's good that he appreciated it. When you've done films for 50 years or 60 years, as I have, each film doesn't really change your life. It's the sum of everything that sort of makes a career or breaks a career.
I think one of my favorite things about Sentimental Value is, although it's about a family and the dynamic they're in, it's also about your specific relationships to three different people. The two people who play your daughters, who are fabulous, and this actress who comes into your life. And I was wondering, in fashioning this movie, do you have to forge specific relationships with these actors ahead of time in order to capture this depth you get on screen?
Not really. I mean, actors are really good at creating really intimate relationships in no time at all. They can undress in front of each other after 15 seconds and then forget each other in 20 seconds. So they are very fickle. But I had different kinds of relationships with all three of them because they're different personalities. But that's more my personal relationships. But the thing that makes it the intimacy so visible in this film is that we came to play in the same key in a way. We have different experiences, but Joachim brought us down to the basics, to the ground, where we did not have any tools anymore. We didn't have any sort of tricks or anything. He took away all that stuff. So we were naked in front of each other in that sense.
Do you have a favorite unexpected moment of intimacy in this film? Like something you couldn't have kind of premeditated with, you know, skill and talent ahead of time that kind of comes out on camera?
Well, the very last scene, which is almost a happy ending, but it's only almost a happy ending. And at that moment, we took it as the last thing. We shot it as the last thing of... after 3 months of shooting, and we had the entire film as in our memory bank, so to say, but we knew it was very difficult to find that tone exactly, to find that expression exactly, but we nailed it immediately, and that was amazing, and we just look at each other for maybe 15 seconds. And we look away and we smile. And that means that you were surprised when you were making it. And I was surprised. Even if I was 15 meters away from Renate Reinsveld, lead in the film, I saw in her eyes that something had happened to her. Something had happened to me too. And then it creates this beautiful ending, which is almost a happy ending, because it's only almost. They try the entire film to reach each other in different ways, and it doesn't succeed because a lot of trauma stuff. But this in the very end, there's a hope for reconciliation. There's a hope for forgiveness. It's not as easy as it is in more simple films that they hug each other and everything's good forever.
Now, if people haven't seen the movie, it's about a guy who's a well-known filmmaker. And earlier in his life, he had cast one of his daughters to play a crucial role in one of his movies. And now later in his life, he's trying to cast the other daughter, who has since become an acclaimed actress, to play this role. But because their relationship is rocky, she doesn't want to step into it. And at the end of this movie, the lines between art and real life are blurred, and then anyway, it's the best ending of a movie I have seen this year. And I think it also just, it's like you come out of this movie, like there's lingering tension that you kind of don't know what the movie is going to do with. And then it turns out this movie understands these characters and this world even better than we do. It's like you realize the movie is smarter than you.
Yeah, that's always funny.
But I also want to talk about the actress who plays your other daughter, Inga, his daughter, yeah. Lilius, who is just, I had never seen before, and is immediately captivating. And I want to compare her to you, because both of you in this movie, there are times where I was wondering, did you rehearse just how you would look or how you would react in certain scenes? Because the thing that sticks with me the most about this movie is just the looks on your face that illustrate everything that just happened. And is that the kind of thing that can be directed? Or how do you get to these moments where your face says everything?
It is to be in the situation. It's not sort of that you, I'll look over there and then I look over there and then I nod and then I smile and stuff like that. It's not sort of technical in that sense. So every take is different in a way. And every take is new. And the rhythm of the take is also new because you produce constantly real life through your face. And it's visible and it's readable. And it depends on how you react to the situation. And if you do two takes, you might react differently. Somebody does something to you and somebody does something to the scene. To me, acting is more reacting than producing expressions yourself. I mean, it's actually, you see me reacting to my fellow actors. And that's the fun part because they surprise you and you surprise yourself.
I want to say, additionally, this movie is kind of about acting. You know, we're learning about the skills of both your daughters, but really the Renata Reinsva character. And I was wondering, what are your favorite movies about acting? Are there any movies you've watched that you look back and think, oh, this actually says something true about what I do or the craziness of the profession or about being an actor?
No, not really. I can't even describe it myself. I mean, it's such a elusive profession. You don't know what it is. You try to invent sort of methods to make it understandable, even form it in words. But you can't, because it's like all art. Like it's like music. You can't say what it is in music that makes you cry. But it's something. It's something magical. And it's the same thing goes for paintings. And the same thing goes for acting. You don't know what it is. The very magic of it, you don't know what it is. But of course you can say, oh, he looks angry now, or he looks happy.
I've seen you also say that, like, I don't know if it makes you laugh, that actors try to describe actors as an intellectual exercise. But the fact yeah. of the matter is, like, amateurs can be just as good as professional actors or just as beguiling, I guess. Do you ever miss anything about being an amateur actor?
I constantly miss it in a way, but I work hard to become an amateur actor all the time. I sort of forget my skills and forget my tools. There was a Swedish director who once said to me, I know you know how to do this, but I don't want to see your fucking tools. I want you to be as good as the amateurs that I have in the film. And I understood exactly what he meant. It has to have that freshness, that sort of, you can't plan life, you know? And to create life, you can't plan it. So you can create the circumstances that makes it possible to get there, to have the freedom to express it, but you can't plan it because life is totally irrational.
I would say it reminds me a little bit of poker or something. When you watch like people, like professional poker players deal with somebody who's new on the circuit, like they can't read the usual tells or they don't have like a playbook to go by. So like some other math has to come into play in order for it to make
exactly.
sense to them.
You know? That's good. I never thought of that. That's good.
Just the other day at the SAG Awards, Jessie Buckley, while accepting her award, toasted the great Emily Watson, who you've gotten to work with a number of times, but specifically in Breaking the Waves, which is a singular, unforgettable movie, both because of you and because of her. I was just wondering, could you talk about just her as an actress? Because I feel like there's something about her, and you know, she was just great in Hamnet, and you know, she's had wonderful roles, including on Chernobyl, which you were on. But I can't compare her to other people, actually. And I was wondering what you just think of what she brings on the screen.
She's a unique voice in a way. And she was, Breaking the Waves was her first film, and she did that role. And it was extremely courageous because she comes from a religious home. And she said yes to a film where she was often naked, had sex scenes with a middle-aged Swede, and was directed by a middle-aged Dane. And it was that she hadn't heard of before. So she was very courageous. But the most courageous thing she did was to let go of everything in front of the camera, and to be there and naively, in a way, watch the world and absorb it and react to it. She did it perfectly. She asked me for an advice, and I said, "Don't plan your you're acting. It's not going to work. just go for it. And she did. But everything she does has this kind of dreamy quality that makes her mesmerizing.
That is exactly it. There's something that's like very real about her and then also kind of touched in another universe. And there's some like interplay there that makes it particularly interesting. I can't really compare that to anybody. But fantastic. You've now been in many Lars von Trier movies. My question about his movies is, how often are you in a movie of his and that what you see on the screen afterwards actually resembles what you thought you were making? Because he takes you such crazy places and the directing seems so spontaneous that if I were an actor in a movie, I don't know that I would be sure what he actually captured.
No, but there comes the not-so-amateur Stellan in. I know what he captures. And he thinks I'm totally oblivious of where the camera is and stuff. But I know where the camera is all the time. But I don't use it until I want to use it. So I look like I don't know because I can't sort of pretend it's not there. To me, the camera is a coworker. It's another actor. It's a part of the scene. And I feel if the camera is out of rhythm, I feel that if he's not moving in the way it should move in the scene and stuff like that. But that is too much experience.
Do you have a proudest moment working with him?
No, it's not very hard to work with him. He's so funny, intelligent, and lovely during the shoot. And he leaves you with total freedom. And everybody's laughing and everybody's having fun, even if you do horrible stuff. But the good thing, I think, is I don't feel any responsibility. And I can't have responsibility. I don't have any responsibility for the film. I can do whatever I want. He will use the best things and he will make something out of it. And when he's pleased, I'm pleased, you know, because I cannot sort of come and say, well, you shouldn't do like that, you know. You can't cut like that, you know. You can't have me looking at the camera left and then camera right, you know. It doesn't work. You can't say that to him because he does what he wants and he knows what he's doing. So I let him do his film.
Looking back at your filmography, as I said, like the versatility is absolutely wild. You seem to belong in every particular environment, though I am, of course, fascinated with you talking about the discomfort in making a Mamma Mia movie. First of all, the music of ABBA is its own particular resting energy. I mean, like, you're either tuned into that, like, power pop vibe or you're not. But secondly, that incredible company, do you have a favorite moment where it sort of came together on set and you felt like, you know, oh, now I'm a musical star in a movie and it's making sense to me?
Well, as a musical star, it never made sense to me, really. What it made sense to me was when I showed my butt in the first film. But that is more my kind of film. We were rehearsing dancing scenes forever. We were rehearsing Voulez-Vous, a dance to Voulez-Vous, for a month and a half, every day. And I still couldn't do it. And they cut it out of the film. But what gets to you there is hearing Voulez-Vous, even when you wake up in the middle of the night, you know, and hear Voulez-Vous. So I couldn't listen to those songs right afterwards, but it was a fantastic experience. And it was also a learning thing because it's the most light and direct communication I've ever had with the audience because of the type of film it was. It's not a film really, it's a party. His communication is very direct and very basic, and you don't need your usual sort of analysis of the role. You can't care about what is his background story. What is that? Well, why is he doing like that? I mean, you just don't talk about it. Just have fun. And I understood more about what is contagious. It's contagious how fun we have to the audience. And that was the important thing. And that is expressed through faces and body language and everything. And people recognize it and become a part of it without wanting to or knowing about it. It's an animal language in a way. It's like dogs. Ah, that dog is happy. I'm happy, you know?
My last question is, two of your sons recently just had movies come out. Bill Skarsgård was just on the show talking about Dead Man's Wire, but also Alexander was in Pillion, which was fabulous. I saw you talking about that movie with him a little bit on the that Actors and Actors chat, but I was wondering what you thought of those two movies and their performances therein.
Oh, they're great. Both of them are great. And they're very good movies. Pillion is a sweet and lovely romantic comedy in a way. And Dead Man's Wire is Gus Van Sant, and it's like a 70s movie, and it makes you feel at home.
I hadn't seen a movie that actually felt like the 70s in so long. It made me miss like the drabness of it, just like the facial hair, the outfits, etc.
Yeah.
Before I let you go, what has been your favorite part of, you know, this long award season? Have you gotten to meet anybody new that you otherwise wouldn't have met, or discussing this film in particular, which, by the way, is a lot of fun to discuss? It feels like a great book or something. It reminds me of being in English class. You could just keep talking about it.
Yeah, you can keep talking about it. And that is one of the best experiences of this long campaign. But also meeting the audience. And the audience, you know, you get such a variation of reactions, but so much total abandonment and love from everybody, from a 13-year-old to a 75-year-old, you know, because it touches on things that are universal, that are common for all languages and people, and countries and ages. So it's been a very special experience in that sense. Otherwise, it's a lot of work, and I'm happy that it's over in a week or two.
Well, I hope it ends with you with an Oscar, because you are the supporting performance of the year. It is such a fabulous performance. It's, again, you can't get it off your mind. It's that good. So happy for this movie. Thank you so much for being here and for sharing all your stories. Much appreciated.
Thank you very much. And I hope to see you again.
Thank you to Stellan Skarsgård. Sentimental Value is in select theaters and on demand right now. And you better watch it. We'll be right back. Keep It is brought to you by Rocket Money. I'm looking to travel this summer, so I'm making sure my finances are on point, as the children say. Before Rocket Money, you would have guessed my monthly expenses. I was maybe supporting a number of secret families in different states, but not anymore. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that helps find and cancel your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so you can grow your savings. I'm a modern man, so I have a few subscriptions. None of which I'll share with you now, but using Rocket Money helped me thin the herd and bring me back down to the essentials. Plus, it's so easy to track my spending, checking, and savings accounts in one easy-to-read dashboard. Now I can spend less time worrying about money and more time researching beach getaways for film buffs. Let Rocket Money help you reach your financial goals faster. Join at rocketmoney.com/keepitpod. That's rocketmoney.com/keepitpod. rocketmoney.com/keepitpod. And we're back with the meanest part of the episode. It's Keep It. Nina Parker, you look, first of all, you just snarled.
I know. I'm thinking about it. I'm getting upset.
Okay. Hit me. What are we looking at?
Keep your apologies, BAFTA.
Oh my God.
Get your ass out of here.
We haven't talked about this yet.
You keep all late and shit.
Yeah.
Please keep it. You know, my thing is this. You're not sorry. First of all, you're not sorry.
Let's get into what actually happened, first of all.
Right.
So at the BAFTAs, Michael B. Jordan and Delroy Lindo were on stage. And
I'm getting mad.
There is a movie this year about somebody with Tourette's, a real-life person who was in the audience. Mm-hmm. That person had a Tourette's-esque outburst. Mm-hmm. This happened to be the N-word.
Yes.
And you could hear it on camera. Mm-hmm. And even though it was from the audience, and I believe they were on a delay, they didn't bleep it. Like, we could hear it at home.
Right.
Yes.
Intentional.
Yeah.
I mean, and when you find out that they bleeped other things but chose to keep this in, I am just really over people not seeing humanity and how Black people need to be treated. And now at this point, just keep it how you got it, and don't be mad every time I crash out. I am going to meet the energy crazy every time, and I'm gonna say something crazy every time, because if people don't want to be sorry, I won't be sorry either. I am kind of at a point where I'm fed up with the bullshit, and I feel like even with this apology that they've released like a week late, they still are talking in the apology. It should just be the apology to Black people. Instead, they're still, they infiltrated the apology, explaining what, like, you know, almost like mansplaining Tourette's in that apology. And to me, there were two different things that happened, right? The incident happened, but also you need to talk about the fact that you didn't feel like there was not a personal apology to Delroy Lindo and to Michael B. Jordan in the moment. And also the fact that when you didn't bleep this out, you need to tell us why. And just instead of saying, oh, we just, you know, we kind of overglazed it. The reason that you did not do it is because you did not see humanity in these people or the people who watch them or support them. You did not feel like it was a priority. And that is a problem. And so for me, I honestly don't want no more apologies from nobody. Do what you're going to do. I'm here for you being blatantly racist in my face, so we could just deal with that head up. I don't want no more of the secret shit. Like, let's just deal with it out front, because, by the way, Black folks know. We know when people deal with us and when they don't. It's like breathing air. You know. So we don't got to play this game anymore, you know, as far as like for appearances. I think it's over for those days. I think let's just be out with it on the table and deal with that. But the whole like, oh, we just didn't mean to. No, this was intentional. So I don't actually want an apology. I don't want an apology explanation, because people are trying to, you know, make this A through Z, but it's just very, it's really one, and one plus one equals two. And it is exactly what you think it is.
I think also the problem is, like, and Alan Cumming tried addressing it a little after the fact during the telecast, is that it was the weighting of the issues equally. You know, like, he's tried to say people with Tourette's do this thing, but then also it's like, no, what we should have just talked about were the people on stage.
Right.
You know?
And to hear from Delroy, who, you know, the speech that he gave in Sinners when he was talking about his best friend being lynched in the movie, right? He talked about where he pulled that from when he did that, right? There's so much significance of what this movie stands for and how they're being treated during this award season. It is just also correlated. And for me, that stuff is not far away. These are not things that happened hundreds and hundreds of years ago. And the fact that people can watch this movie and still just be blind to how things are operating is just beyond me. It is willful ignorance at this point. You just don't want to know. And then this is the thing. Black folks going to thrive regardless. We're going to thrive regardless. We're going to find fun in it regardless. We're going to make a joke about it regardless. What people need to understand is, like, it's not that we need it. It's not anything that we need, but it's something that should happen because it's the right thing to do.
I saw a video from New York public advocate Jumaane Williams on this topic. He has Tourette's himself. And I thought he was brilliant. Mm. If people want to get into this moment and, like, both the Tourette's of it and right. the unbelievable, unthinkableness of this moment, he gets into all of that. So I really recommend that. Also, there's almost like no going forward in this award season from that moment. It just sucks.
The thing that broke my heart, really, aside from the incident happening, was watching like Delroy and Michael B. Jordan's faces.
Yeah.
It's a look I've had before that I recognize immediately, and it broke my heart. However, I was so excited to see them celebrated so much at the NAACP Awards.
Yes.
They were so loved. And listen, like, you know, there's something to be said for the resilience of knowing how to push through things. And congrats to Michael B. Jordan on his SAG win. So, you know, it's onward and upward. But, you know, it definitely, I hate that just this whole thing happened.
I also hate that the PGAs were at the same time as the NAACP Awards. Excuse me.
Right.
Surely there's time.
Actually, NAACP, which that's been a whole topic too. Oh. They've been saying NAACP at the awards. Like, they never said the double is gone.
Oh, wow.
Somebody took the double away.
Someone had a meeting.
So they don't go by NAACP anymore. They go by NAACP.
The NAACP
But
Awards.
I don't know why, but it was a very big topic of conversation when the awards were airing.
Okay, very good. I will remember. Okay, my Keep It. I was all angry about mine before. It's significantly less important than this. But I just want to say, keep it to people who keep telling me that Kelly Osbourne must be going through something terrible because of how she looks. And ooh. Conversely, stop telling me that Lindsay Lohan is doing great because she looks great. Mm. The idea that someone went under the knife for something and that means their well-being is all satisfied or bad.
Right.
Stop guessing. You're wrong. You don't know anything about either of these people. Right. Last time I checked in on Kelly Osbourne, she was covering Papa Don't Preach. It was pretty good. Not bad. And also, obviously, ever since Ozzy Osbourne died, we've seen Sharon Osbourne and Jack Osbourne and Kelly Osbourne at various tributes. But, like, the way people look at a picture of somebody and decide they are quote-unquote happy or quote-unquote going through it or whatever, it's like, these aren't clues.
Right.
And then sharing it online, it's like, so not only do you think they look bad, you want to make it worse and get your voice in there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot. Ooh, this is a tricky one.
Yeah. So these are both tricky ones.
This is, because it's, you know, I am just of the belief of, like, I don't talk about people's appearances.
Yeah.
You know, like, I do talk about their actions, but it's a hard thing to talk. You just don't know. We just don't know what's going on unless they say, like she said on her Instagram later, you know, I'm dealing with the worst grief of my life.
Yeah.
So she's kind of giving it a clue, you know, to, like, she's just kind of grieving, but she's not saying she has a health issue.
Yeah, right.
You know,
right.
But either way, like, nobody really owes us an explanation to what they're going through either.
Right. It's a part of the parasocial problem.
Yes.
You know, it's like, well, we do know them differently than we once did because of social media, but I still think we're making lots of leaps that make right. no sense.
It's also okay to just have these discussions in your group chat.
The amount of times this is the answer. Where it's just like, what if you kept that nasty joke,
right.
maybe about whether someone should come out or not, among your right. gay friends?
Listen, everybody gossips.
Yeah.
We live in a world where people gonna gossip. That's not gonna go away.
Yeah.
But you don't have to make, like, a whole post about it on your Instagram and ask people's thoughts. Or I would be horrified if somebody put up a poll about what I was going through because I'm wearing my hair natural or something. You know, I'm like,
yeah,
excuse
right.
me?
Yeah.
You know? And a lot of times explanations are very stupid and dumb, right? Like, you're like, oh, I just did this because of XYZ. So I think, like, I completely agree with you. There's just no way of knowing, like, you know what I saw recently? This has nothing to do with an appearance, but, you know, La Roche confirmed that Zendaya was married.
Correct.
And everybody is saying, like, he shouldn't have done this and da-da-da. And then there's people in the comments like, I know how celebs work and this was planted. And it's like, none of y'all know what the hell is going on.
No,
we don't
right.
know.
Right.
We don't know.
Good guesses. Just couch it in the form of
yes.
guesses.
Like, yeah, you know how you, okay, Maria, you know how everything works in Tuscany.
Right.
Like, please, girl, like, you don't know what's going on. Neither do we.
No, the amount of times we project expert status on people because they, I don't know, made a video about
right.
something. Their deadlifts are
right.
amazing. But it's like, you don't have any fucking training in this.
Just because you saw somebody on Fashion Bomb Daily every day doesn't mean you know what's going on, my love. Like, we don't know how people are moving. Do I think it was strategic? Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, that's, but we really in this thing. So it's like, we're still making educated guesses.
Also, by the way, though, if they really did get married, that is so impressive. How do you pull that
oh my
off?
Gosh, so impressive that nobody in the family said nothing.
Right. Was there a witness?
Nobody, like, nobody said nothing.
Are they wearing a Spidey suit?
Oh, man. That was the one celeb wedding I would want eyes on.
Oh, yeah.
Because did you see him with her family in Oakland?
No.
Please.
What happened?
Her family is very Oakland.
Okay.
Okay? And by that, I mean black.
I'm there. Yes.
Okay. Zendaya's from the Bay Area like me.
Yeah.
And she, like, a year ago had him at, like, a family function. And the cousin, it wasn't him or her. Her cousin was filming the whole thing. And she left him for the wolves. She wasn't with him. You know, she wasn't, like, introducing him and next to him. She left. And that's what you do.
Yeah,
you
right.
drop them off.
Oh,
and you
please.
See how they survive at the barbecue.
Oh, no, this isn't a debutante ball. You
if
don't
I
have
take
to, like,
you
walk
with
them
me,
yeah.
if we become better friends,
yes, Raj.
And I take you to the barbecue, I'm leaving you. You got to fend for yourself. I want to see you over there talking to my auntie about recipes.
Well, I got news for you. I don't want to be a sociopath. I'm going to win over your auntie.
And you will,
yeah.
because it's authentic, because you don't need a crutch.
Oh, no, no, no.
You don't need the crutch. That's yeah. how I knew he was the man for her.
Yeah.
Because he's over there talking to her cousins, and they in his face, and he dealt with it so well. So, you know, they're going to be all right.
Okay, good. No,
mm-hmm.
I'm encouraged
and
by
I,
that.
And I think you and my auntie will get along just fine.
By the way, that's a total litmus test for me. If you can't, like, meet somebody's relatives
right.
and absolutely, like, own the moment
yes.
or whatever. But also, I do have the, like, added, like, energy vibe of I know every old reference.
Right.
So I have
right.
my tricks.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, some, right? Because then you're going to meet these old ladies who
yeah.
have a whole life that you didn't know about. And it's just fun to hear, you know, their stories.
Oh,
and the, like,
yeah,
you know
yeah,
what
yeah.
I mean? It's going to be a learning process for everybody.
Well, also, I just realized that sometimes when people socialize, I guess they're just not interested in everybody. Whereas
right.
like,
I am.
When I meet people, I'm like, I can get it. Let me dial in.
We over time because we just yapping.
I know.
Please put us in a party and watch us working.
Nope. You have to physically take us out of this room to stop this.
Somebody needs to actually come in here and take my mic because I will talk to you all day.
No, we need to be candy craned out. Yeah.
I need stop times and start times because I will yap all day. That's why I do so well on Threads. I just be talking to myself.
No, please. Please. Thank you. And we're richer for it. Nina Parker, in case people the past few times you've been
yes.
on the show didn't have a pen and they weren't writing down where they could find you.
I didn't have a pen.
Okay, we're going to give them a moment to get a pen.
Get a pen,
they
please.
Have the pen now.
Get a pen.
Yeah. They could only find a marker, but they have a marker.
This is for a specific crowd,
yes,
by the way.
Right.
Are Gen Zs using pens?
Yes, right. It's next to the answering machine. Where can they find you?
The Nina Parker on all platforms.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you once again for
thank
being
you for
here.
Having me.
And thank you for joining us. We accidentally covered every topic today. There's none left. Is anything solved? We tried to solve it. Anyway, we'll see you then on Keep It. Don't forget to follow Crooked Media on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. You can also subscribe to Keep It on YouTube for access to full episodes and other exclusive content. And if you're as opinionated as we are, consider dropping us a review. Keep It is a Crooked Media production. Our producer is Bill McGrath, and our executive producers are Louis Fertel, Ira Madison III, and Kendra James. Our digital team is Delon Villanueva, Claudia Shang, Rachel Gajewski, and Jay Banks. This episode was recorded and mixed by Jarek Centeno. Thank you to David Tolles, Kyle Seglin, and Charlotte Landis for production support every week. Our head of production is Matt DeGroot. Our production staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.